We're going to talk about the gospel reading today, and I looked in my notes, and it's been a while since I've talked about demons, so this sounds like a good day to do it. I have had demons come across my windscreen quite a bit the last two or three weeks. The chaplain at the Boulder County Jail, whenever he gets a messianic in, he doesn't know what to do with them, so he calls me. So I go over and visit with a messianic and see how he is and so forth. So I went over there a couple weeks ago, and there was this guy, and he said he had dated a witch and she had cursed him. He was unable to sleep and so forth. So I got him some resources, and I got a letter from him saying that things were better, and I pray that that's the case. I haven't seen him since. The chaplain there at the jail doesn't really believe in demons. So I sent him a book basically saying, I know you don't believe in it, but probably a lot of the people that you're going to minister to do, and it would be good for you to understand what they're talking about. Now, if the book also convinces him, that's gravy, but I did send him a book. Then I had somebody come in last week and say that he had gotten a call from a colleague who said he was possessed. It wasn't anything he'd ever run across before and had no idea what to do. And then we have the reading today where Yeshua cast out a bunch of demons and so forth. So I figure it's probably about time to talk about them again. Demons are a major part of Yeshua's ministry. One of the things that I decided very early on in my Christian career is if I believe in God, I believe in Yeshua, and I believe in the Holy Spirit, then I also have to believe in demons because they're all over the book. It is not the case that I can say, well, I believe this, but I don't believe that. So I studied them, and they're a major part of Yeshua's ministry. This is just one instance, of course, where he cast demons out. They cause a lot of human suffering, and they also are a source of temptation and oppression. And by the way, they are still around, so nothing has changed. I've had pastors that I've listened to sermons on try and finesse the places in Scripture where Yeshua cast something out. For example, the young man who kept getting seizures and falling into a fire. His father brings him to Yeshua, and Yeshua casts the spirit out of him. And I had a preacher one time that I was listening to saying, well, what the kid really had was epilepsy. And what happened was he cured him on the spot of his epilepsy. That's not what the Scripture says. The Scripture says cast out a demon. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not suggesting that all epilepsy is caused by demons. It can also be a mechanical malfunction in the head. But in that case, it's clearly a demon. Somebody once said that the greatest coup that Satan ever made was to convince people that he didn't exist. There are a whole lot of people that don't believe in this stuff, and they are, quite frankly, defenseless, vulnerable. I'm not one of those people. I believe he exists. I believe demons exist, and I believe that they still exist, and I believe that we have been given the tools to deal with them. We have been given the tools to live in this world, which, as I'm fond of saying, is kind of a combat zone, and what we're doing here is making sure that you all understand what the tools are, because it's really important. One of the things in today's gospel reading, and I'll remind you of it here, I'm in Matthew 8:28. And when they came to the other side, to the country of the Gadarenes, two demon-possessed men met them, coming out of the tombs, so fierce that no one could pass that way. And behold, they, the demons, cried out, what have we to do with you, O Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time? Two things. One is they immediately recognize who he is. One of the things that happens throughout the gospel is nobody else does. Even his own disciples don't recognize who he is until after the resurrection. Demons got no doubt whatsoever. That's the Son of God. And the other thing that's interesting is they said, have you come here to torment us before the time? Not sure what that means, but the point is they are expecting an end to all of this when he will reign and he will, in fact, deal with them in mass. And so what they're saying is, wait a minute, it isn't time to do that yet. What are you doing here? That's sort of the question. The other thing is notice that there's a conversation going on. between him and the demons. You can infer all sorts of stuff from that. One is that these are intelligent beings because they're able to carry on a conversation, and Yeshua talks back and forth with them. The other is they are malicious. So these two guys that are possessed are living in the tombs, which is not where anybody wants to live, and they are dangerous. They are so fierce that nobody can go past them because they are possessed by these demons. And you've all read the story of the sons of Sceva, who are the Jewish exorcist, who after the resurrection, they see Paul casting out spirits, and they go to this guy that's demon-possessed and say, in the name of that Jesus who Paul preaches, I cast you out. And the demon says, huh, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? And then proceeds to beat on them and send them out of there naked and afraid. So these are intelligent beings. They are not sort of some nebulous force. They are intelligent beings who can speak. And they're malicious. They don't mean you any good. In fact, years ago, and I looked it up again and it's still around, there was a business management group that would take you in and give you a whole bunch of training. And then they would give you a spirit guide, which is to say they gave you a demon. Of course, the propaganda was this spirit guide will enable you to know stuff that you couldn't already know. In other words, that you can't find out normally. And in fact, they do. These are spiritual beings, so they have access to information that isn't obvious to you. However, to go and willingly pick up an unclean spirit is stupidity on steroids, but that stuff is still around. It's been a long time since I first ran into it, 20 years or so. So I went back and looked it up this week, and there are still management people who will get you a spirit guide that will enable you to succeed in business and all that kind of stuff. And again, what that is they are asking you voluntarily to pick up a demon. By the way, don't do that. Not worth it. They're territorial. Remember in the book of Daniel, when the angel Gabriel is coming to answer his prayer, he said, I got withheld for 21 days while I was fighting with the prince of Persia. Obviously a territorial demon over Persia. Similarly in Deuteronomy, and it's in Deuteronomy 13:12, there's a passage which says if a town gets seduced by a demon and starts worshiping idols and so forth, and you go and you check it out and you find out that it's actually true, what you'll do is you slaughter everybody in the town, you slaughter all the animals, you will take all of the spoil, pile it up in the middle of town, burn it, you will knock the town down flat and never build there again. Which tells me that that place is a place where a demon lives. Sorry you put your town there, guys, but we're going to wipe your town out and, oh, by the way, don't ever build there again. So they're territorial. Demons will also cause some physical illnesses. I say that very carefully. Not all physical ailments are caused by demons, but there are some that are. And Yeshua is able to tell the difference. So sometimes he casts out a demon. Other times he heals. There is a difference between casting out a demon and healing. They're two different processes. The problem is different in both cases. One is a physical ailment that you get from disease and all the things that happen in this world that needs to be healed. A demon, on the other hand, needs to be cast out. The manifestation of the demon may be a physical ailment. So in order to figure that out, it turns out that there's a spiritual gift that covers that. So if you look at the list of spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians 12, down to verse 8, to another working in miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits. So the spiritual gift of being able to discern spirits is something that is available to us. So when you're dealing with somebody who is got a problem, in pain, sick, something like that, and you want to help them heal, one of the things that you should be praying is, are we dealing with just an everyday run-of-the-mill garden variety illness here, or have we got an unclean spirit involved? That should be one of your questions. Because again, the gift of healing is a gift of the Holy Spirit, and a gift of the discerning of spirits is a gift of the Holy Spirit. Ask for the one you need, or ask for the one he thinks you need, and then proceed accordingly. So, there's two errors that you can make. Error number one is to ignore demons. And by the way, I'm not throwing rocks at the chaplain of the jail. He's a good guy. I like him. He just needs to up his game a little bit. So the first problem that you can have is to ignore them. And that's sort of like walking around in a minefield hoping that nothing will happen. And in fact, not even knowing you're in a minefield. The second one is to attribute everything that goes wrong to a demon. There is not a demon hiding behind every bush. Everything that goes wrong in your life, and there will be things that go wrong in your life, are not all attributable to malign influence of demons. Some of it's just your own stupidity. Some of it is simply the evil of other people. Some of it is simply, it happens. So certainly when things go bad, again, you want to ask for a gift of discernment. You want to ask God, what's going on here? Is this just the normal stuff that goes along with living in the world, or is there something going on here that I need to pray against, as in a demon, as opposed to as in, please help me out of this mess? Two different things. So how do you get a demon? The first way is lack of a good defense. This is very often the case with children. Children can pick them up simply because they have no idea. They're defenseless. They're innocent. And just because they're defenseless and innocent don't mean that they can't be occasionally malicious, which means that they can pick them up, or they can pick them up from their family. This is what I would call defenseless. The other way you can pick them up is simply being unaware. I've told you all this story, but I'll tell it quickly again. When we were in the other church, we had a guy that we asked him what was going on. He says, we are legion, right out of scripture. And he was demon central. We said, all right, you can come to church, but you will not touch anybody. You'll sit back there in the corner and you'll keep your hands in your lap. Because he would go through and we're shaking hands and all that kind of stuff, and about half the congregation would do this for about two more days. And this is people who are unaware of what's going on, which means that they don't have their defenses up. And it would take us an afternoon to get everything cleaned up. We finally got him cleaned up as well. The second way you can get them is temptation. And what they do is demons will come alongside you and they will whisper in your ear things that tempt you. Could be wealth, could be sex, could be power. In the case of these business consultants, they're tempting you with knowledge. You'll be able to have an advantage over your competition because you'll know things that they don't. That's a temptation, which would lead someone to say, oh, yeah, that sounds good. And as I say, the other human temptations, wealth, sex, power, etc. So they will tempt you by offering you something that you want. Now, one of the things about it is they don't tempt you with something that you're not interested in. We all have incompletenesses in our personality, shall we say. We all have areas where we're vulnerable. As I'm fond of saying, I was wired generous. God made me that way. No glory to me. I also have a really raging sense of pride, which is a problem. So I will not be tempted by a demon in the area of generosity because I'm not interested. They can talk to me all they want about that. It just doesn't interest me because I'm not wired that way. But if they come and say, well, wait a minute, are you going to let that guy treat you that way? Are you going to allow him to do that? That's appealing right to my pride. And that I'm interested in. Yeah, tell me more. So if you're not greedy, tempting you with money isn't going to work. If you have a problem with lust, tempting you with lust is going to work. So what they'll do is they'll find out what it is that you are interested in, and they will whisper in your ear. And you'll start nodding that way because you think, yeah, well, that makes sense. Now, am I going to let that guy treat me that way? Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, who's he to treat me that way? And what they'll do then is they'll come alongside you, and they will push you in a direction you already want to go, but they will take you way farther than you would ever go by yourself. So they just sort of keep pushing you in a direction that feels good. You, oh, I like that. But all of a sudden you'll notice, wait a minute, I'm way out here and I don't want to be here anymore. That's how they work. That's how temptation works. And so you need to understand who you are and what things tempt you. And you need to be aware and on guard in those things that are tempting to you. And everybody's got different temptations. Your temptations and my temptations are very different. Some people are tempted by wealth. Some people are tempted by sex. Some people are tempted by power, etc. And you need to figure out where your buttons are, and you need to recognize that that's a place where you need to be on your guard. And when you get these little whisperings in your ear, you need to think about, now, wait a minute, is that me, or am I being tempted here and being pushed? The other way we can get demons is through curiosity, and that's how the occult traps people. People get into Ouija boards and all this kind of stuff because they're curious. We have this insatiable curiosity to find out about things like that. And that goes back to idol worship, by the way, which was one of our readings also. People get curious about this stuff. We know that there's a spiritual realm out there. We're spiritual beings. We know it's there. We get curious about it. What God says is there is one authorized entry into the spiritual world, and that's through me and my spirit. Every other entry that you can go through is going to get you into trouble. But we know it's out there. We know that stuff is there. And we get all curious about it, and we start to look around and so forth. And that's the origin of idol worship and those kinds of things. And that will lead you into a spiritual place that you really don't want to be. But by the time you get there, you're stuck. So you can get demons then by lack of a good defense, by temptation and curiosity. There's a conflict between two Jewish sages, Nachmanides and Maimonides, about demons and idols. They're talking about idols, I'm talking about demons. Same thing. Maimonides was a medical doctor. He was a scientist. And what he said is, do not mess with idols because there's nothing there and you're just wasting your time. Nachmanides was a mystic. He says, do not mess with idols because there is something there and you will get trapped. Both of them say don't mess with idols, but for very different reasons. And what I'm suggesting to you is the idea of don't mess with idols because there's nothing there is dangerous. Because you'll be tempted to mess with them just out of curiosity, not thinking that there is anything harmful that could happen to you. I'm on Nachmanides' side. There's something there and you don't want to mess with it. So that's the dichotomy. Let me take you to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times, that's us, right? We're in latter times. Everybody okay with that? Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times, some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and the teaching of demons, through the insincerity of liars whose consciences are seared, who forbid marriage and require abstinence from foods that God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. So the point is, demons teach. They come alongside and they teach. And by the way, that's what the spirit of Antichrist is. In 1 John, it is teaching something that is contrary to Scripture. And in the case of the Antichrist, it's specifically teaching that Yeshua did not come in the flesh. That's the spirit of Antichrist. But it's a spirit again. That spirit's alive and well. That spirit is in churches. You have all sorts of churches that are off in the weeds. The other thing is Babylon in the future is going to fall. And I'll read you from Revelation. We're in Revelation 18. Fallen is Babylon the Great. Babylon is, in this case, the world system that starts in Babylon, moves with power. I believe it's right now in Washington. She has become the dwelling place for demons, haunt for every unclean spirit. Have you looked at the administration where we have weirdos being held up and paid for? That's the doctrine of demons. Now, having said all that, fear not. You have authority. Take you to Mark 16. And he said to them, this is to his disciples, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues, they will pick up serpents with their hands, and they will drink any deadly poison, and it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. But notice a big part of that is casting out demons. You remember when he sends the 72 out ahead of him, and they come back and say, wow, boss, we were able to cast out demons in your name. You have authority over these things. So being afraid is not an option, because if you're afraid, you won't use your authority. So fear not. Yeshua's name has power. Notice he says, in my name, they will cast out demons. So if you are a believer in Yeshua, you have been cleansed by his blood, you have authority over these things. Now, what you may not have is knowledge. There's a difference. The fact that you have authority doesn't mean that you know what you're doing. And one of the things that Yeshua says is you should not just automatically cast out demons, because you may make the situation worse. Luke chapter 11, verse 24. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a person, it passes through waterless places seeking rest, and finding that, it says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when it comes, it finds the house swept and put in order. In other words, somebody has cast it out, so the house has been swept and put in order. Got the pigs out of the parlor. Then it goes and brings seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that person is worse than the first. So don't go around like a gunslinger just casting demons out. You need to know the spiritual state of the person you're dealing with. And if the person you're dealing with is not a believer and is not prepared to bring the Holy Spirit into himself, what you will leave is an empty house. And that empty house then will get squatters in it again. So when I say there's a difference between authority and knowledge, everybody here has authority. But what you need to do is do a little studying so that you have the knowledge, so you use that authority in ways that are helpful instead of in ways that are not helpful. Believers can get demons. It happens. Been there, done that, seen that. Not me personally, but in fact, I was casting a spirit off of somebody in the old church. I don't remember what it was or who it was, but I prayed for him and cast this thing out. And all of a sudden, something felt like it hit me on the side of the head. And my ear stopped up and everything, and I went over to Brian. Brian, you need to cast whatever this is off of me. I just picked something up. I don't know what it was. And he then cast it off of me, and we got rid of it. But yes, a believer can get these things. So anyway, fear not, and learn what you're doing, because God has given you authority. And the reason he gives you authority is to use it.